Houston, the hawk has landed. This is one small step for man, one giant leap for college radio.
You're listening to 90.3 WMSC, Upper Montclair, New Jersey.
At this time, WMSC begins its broadcast on the FM dial. WMSC is operated by the students of Montclair State University and is licensed to operate on channel 212 with an effective radiated power of 0.86 watts. WMSC broadcasts on 90.3 FM, and our transmitter is located at the New Jersey Public Broadcast Facility in the borough of Little Falls. And now, from the School of Communication and Media on the campus of Montclair State University, it's time to start rocking the pavement!
School of Communication and Media on the campus of Montclair State University. In association with 90.3 WMSC, the Montclairian, and the Center for Cooperative Media, this is the MSU Newsroom.
Hello and welcome. It is the top of the hour here at 90.3 WMSC, Upper Montclair, New Jersey. And Haral, take it away.
And welcome to this week's edition of MSU Newsroom. I am joined by my assistant news director, AJ Malolo, Jessica Metcalf, our office director,
hello,
and later Venezia McAllison, a professor here at Montclair State in the Justice Studies Department, who will join us by calling in the studio. Today, we'll be talking about the town of Montclair setting up gender-neutral restrooms in all schools, which we have Professor McAllison discussing about the issue with us today.
That's right. And so basically where we got this was there's this article that was posted recently over the weekend by the Montclair Local News, where Montclair started this school year rolling out gender-neutral restrooms at each of their schools. Beginning last year, only the high schools had gender-neutral restrooms, but the parents of the students were well informed about the bathrooms in a general email that talked about it at the start of the school year. So, also, Montclair State University has gender-neutral bathrooms in the new buildings. That's another thing. Including this one that we're in right
really?
Now. Really? Yeah. We have one downstairs.
So, wait, are they in all the buildings?
I don't know if they're in all of our buildings or all of the buildings in Montclair.
I know they have one in the business.
All the newer buildings.
Oh, that
okay,
could be.
Okay, so, like, were they just put in or when the buildings were built?
When the buildings
they were built, they put in.
So, like, when this building was built,
they put it in.
And I'm assuming, and they just built the business building in, like, 2015.
Where are they located
it's
in
downstairs
the buildings?
In the main lobby, in, like, that main lobby area by the, so the fishbowl, it's like right there. It's like right across the hallway.
Wait, I never actually.
I've never noticed
I think we should
it,
check
actually.
It out like after. I've never
yeah,
seen
I've
it.
Yeah, I've actually never seen it.
We
so
do,
could I actually go in?
You can go in. Yeah, it's gender neutral.
And like,
I can go in.
No,
you
it's gender neutral except for
but
Haral.
I think it's gender neutral, no Harals. No. I think it's a one-person bathroom though, which is.
Oh yeah, the single stall.
It's a single stall.
That's a better design than some I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Like my high school, I've just visited a couple times because I am one of those people that visits their high school, even though they graduated.
Hey,
it's okay.
Me too.
I never have to.
And it's changed a lot in many ways. And one of them is actually they put in a gender neutral bathroom, which is actually set up like the other bathrooms, the male and female.
So it's like many stalls. It's not like.
It's two stalls.
Okay.
But they go from basically the floor where there's only about, I want to say 2 inches of space from the door to the floor and all the way up to almost the ceiling. So you can't really look over, you can't look under.
Right.
And a man and a female can go in at the same time without any issues.
And we're talking about high school kids, right?
High school kids that are age from 13 to 17 years old.
We'll just put it this way. Hormones are at a high during those times.
Also illegal things like vaping, which is not allowed in high schools. Mm-hmm.
It's not allowed in any public building, I'm pretty sure.
Or most. Not completely yet, but it's getting there.
Right.
But that happens, and it's allowed because it's not really there's no real cameras on there either.
I mean,
from what I heard.
You can't really have cameras in the bathroom.
No, not in the bathroom, but not even like faced.
The bathroom.
Yeah.
You see, here's my biggest issue with, I guess it's not even gender neutral bathrooms. I kind of like, not that I don't mind the idea of having a separate third bathroom. You know what I mean? Like, that's okay. But I agree. It should be kind of like a one person at a time type of bathroom.
Sort like how we have it here at Montclair
yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly. And sort of like how the family rooms used to be where, you know, it allowed, you know, a father to bring their daughter into a bathroom so that the daughter doesn't have to go into the men's room. And the whole point of that was for privacy and safety. And right. I think that's the whole point of having a gender neutral bathroom also. Like, their whole argument is we want to feel safer, we want to feel more comfortable, and I feel like a single bathroom, a single person restroom would achieve that greater than having, like, a full bevy of stalls that both men and women can go into.
Mm-hmm. Here's also an argument, like, my mom and me talk about this all the time. In high schools particularly, where it's more, of a structured place, unlike college where you kind of do your own thing. They have a nursing, nurse's office. That's what I was like, what's it called again? It's been so long. A nurse's office where they have a bathroom most nurse office have bathrooms, correct?
Right. Yeah.
Why can't you go to the nurse's office and use the bathroom there as, like, a comfortable space?
Well, I mean, I guess the argument against that would be that it doesn't feel... It's not as fair. You know what I mean? Like, why
girls use it when they have that time a month. I know a lot of girls in my school that did that. When they would... when they wouldn't want to use the girls' bathroom, they'd go there. And...
I don't know. Like, I think it's also the fact how, you know, if people who don't clearly identify themselves as a specific gender might just feel like, why am I different? Like, why do I have to be the one going to the nurse's bathroom when I should be allowed to go to any bathroom?
But you don't have to have a reason. I feel like the nurse's bathroom is less subjective than, like, going to a specific, like, you're different, here's a specific bathroom just for you. The nurses, you could say, oh, I have a stomach ache. Oh, I have, like, problem with my digestive. I don't feel good or something. And you just go to the bathroom there. They don't even ask questions sometimes. You can just be like, hey, I just have to use the bathroom.
They won't
so
ask questions.
So it's a lot less, I feel like that's a lot less uncomfortable for people than a singular bathroom that's like, okay, you don't identify as a man, but you don't identify as a woman or whatever. You have to have this specific bathroom just for you.
My thing is, it affects such a small percentage of the population, too. You know, it's like minuscule percentages of
the
population.
Do you know the exact
percentage? I don't. I can look it up real quick.
I'm just
curious. I know it's very small. Like, so let's see. Transgender percentage of population in U.S. Let's see.
It's also growing, though, that percentage, isn't it?
Early April 2011, by the Williams Institute, estimated 3.8% of Americans identify as gay or lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. So that's 0.3. According to this, is, as of April of 2011, 0.3% of the population identifies as transgender. But that is going up. And I think the only reason it's going up is kind of because it's... in the mainstream now, I guess you could say. Like, people are talking about it more, so that percentage is going up. But it's not going up by a lot.
10%
exactly. It's 0.3%, and I would imagine if it went up at all, it might be at, like, 0.5%. You know what I mean? Like, it's not... So why are we... I don't want to say catering is the right term, but why are we changing... all of these things that, especially in a high school or a public school setting,
mm-hmm.
can lead to so many detriments, like kids doing illegal activities in the bathroom, kids doing things that are, you know, that might not be physically, you know, what you should be doing in school. Yeah, I'll just put it that way. Why should we sort of allow leeway towards things like that's happening for somebody that it might be like two or three kids in the high school? You know what I mean?
But you know what also this kind of reminds me of? And like, I don't know if you guys really think of it when you think of this, but years ago, bathrooms were segregated between for white folks mm-hmm. and for black folks. Now we're going kind of, we have advanced as a culture so much, but now we're kind of going back as a culture a little bit.
But white,
because it's what we like to do as a culture is segregate something.
There's no biological difference between a white person and a black person other than pigmentation and skin.
No, I know that.
Which makes it wrong, right? Obviously.
Yes.
There are differences between men and women. And to act like there's not is to be blind.
I'm not saying there's not a difference. I wanted to like say correctly. There is a difference completely. And when I go into a bathroom that's labeled for women, I don't want a man coming in because that's my safe space. That's where I go if maybe I need to go fix my makeup, if I want to go and have a little cry, or if I just got to go to the bathroom. That is a safe space for especially women. So if a man's going in there posed as a woman, that kind of ruins that safe space.
And also, I mean, sorry, Earl.
I just wanted to add up to what Jess said. I actually pulled up another article from ABC7, and it was posted May 16th, but it's still relevant because it is from Montclair, New Jersey. And there was a sexual assault case that was reported on campus of the New Jersey High School at Montclair. And pretty much the parents were informed on that day that there was an alleged sexual assault involving two students inside Montclair High School's all-gender restroom.
Okay,
so it kind of relates to back when how people can actually pretend that they're transgender when they're not. And, you know?
Right. Where's the line? Like, how can we say that you're not transgender and somebody else is? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So how can you say that me, I'm dressed like a man right now. I am... You know, I present myself as what would be considered generally a male, right?
Your name's a masculine name.
I have a masculine name. I look masculine, I think.
I think.
What's stopping... Where's the line that says, you know, if I wanted to go into a woman's restroom and claim I'm transgender, you can't tell me that I'm not. You know what I mean?
It goes the other way, too. So it's not just men doing it.
Well, it's women
do it, too.
Yeah, women do it all the time.
Like, me or Haral, like, yes, we have long hair. Yes, we have female parts. Yes, we look feminine. But what's to say, like, because now people say, like, don't assume gender. What's to say, like, I don't identify as a man and I can walk in and be like, well, I identify as a man.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
I want to be in here.
Right. And it's, but I feel like I'm trying to tread a little bit carefully here. I feel like just using pure numbers, men are a lot more likely to prey on women in sexual assault encounters. Not that it doesn't happen the other way.
Oh, it is factual.
Yeah, but like men do it a lot more because they're more of a sexually driven, you know, beings. They're more sexually driven than women in general.
Biologically, they are known to be.
Right. So, When you're coming at it, like, you're right. A woman going into the men's room, that can make men uncomfortable and whatnot. But a man going into a woman's restroom has like an added threat to it, especially if we can't really tell who is just going in there as, you know, someone that's not a threat or somebody that is going in there as a threat. And we're going to go to a break because we're going to be joined with our guests after the break. So hold tight.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know. From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
And we're back on here at 90.3 WMSC on MSU Newsroom, and we are joined by Venetia Michelson. She is over the phone, a professor here for the Justice Studies Department, who would like to answer some of our questions and discuss about her perspective on gender neutrality, not only through the article, but the whole itself.
Hello, Professor. How are you? Can you hear us? Hello? All right. Doo, 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 doo. Can you hear us? Sorry,
hello?
You weren't on.
Oh,
hi. All right,
hi,
there it is.
You?
We're in.
I'm okay. How are you all doing?
We are good. We are good.
Yeah, we're doing well. We actually just...
Hello.
So it's we were discussing, you know, how Montclair has put into effect that they're going to be adding these gender-neutral bathrooms in all of the public schools. And yep. I know that Montclair State actually also has gender-neutral bathrooms. So just... Quick question. Do you know how many gender-neutral bathrooms are at Montclair State?
I believe there are 14.
Wow.
They're listed on the website for the LGBTQ Center. So if anybody is interested in getting the list of exactly which locations, the LGBTQ Center has that list.
All right. So we're going to pull up that list now just so that we can, you know, inform everyone.
Yeah.
So I guess... What are your thoughts about Montclair setting up these gender-neutral bathrooms in all of the schools?
You know, so I was listening to your intro, your conversation beforehand. I want to make sure, you know, my focus is justice studies. My PhD is in criminal justice, but I also teach for the Gender, Sexuality, and Women's Studies program here at Montclair State. But, you know, one of the most important things to remember is that trans people and gender nonconforming people are far, far, far more likely to be victimized than they are to be victimizers. If we're talking about the effect of making gender-neutral bathrooms, really there have been no documented cases of violence by transgender people in those bathrooms. Now, I know about the case, the sort of situation that happened at Montclair High School, but it's not clear yet who was victimized by whom. Mm-hmm. We know that there is a male-identified student and a female-identified student. They're both minors. But we don't know which is which, if you will, right? So we don't know who's been victimized, even though the media has taken it to mean that the person who is the victimizer is the trans person. What's my point? My point is that trans people, especially trans people of color here in the United States and around the world, are far more likely to be victimized. So worrying about whether they're going to be spying on or victimizing people in bathrooms is really just a moral panic. It's about fear rather than about facts.
Right, but I think that the more of the crux of what we were trying to say wasn't that actual transgender people are going to be doing this. It's more of, what about people pretending to be? I feel
pretending.
Like, yeah, like people.
Also not something that's been showing up at all in the statistics about crime. But, you know, at the end of the day, what's to stop that from happening now? I mean, you know, anybody could walk into any bathroom at any time. There aren't, you know, fingerprint pads or anything like that on a bathroom. So the idea that a rule like this would change something really doesn't make much sense.
Right. So I mean, coming from, obviously we are all, we're three students that are all cisgendered. So like we have sort of a different, I guess you could say, a little bit more of an ignorant perspective on the issue. But we're trying to just wrap our heads around it also. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
And
One of the things that stood out for me was we were talking about going into the nurse's room and sort of saying, well, you know, I have a stomach ache or I have, you know, it's that time of the month, whatever it is. Remember, too, that I think I cut you off for a question, but I just wanted to say this before we moved on, that also pathologizes being trans. It turns it into something that you would equate as an illness. And I know it's not what you meant, but it is how people sort of perceive it. Imagine that if every time you had to pee, you had to pretend you were sick. You know, all that does is make everything more difficult for trans kids that are already facing all these difficulties. All right, and then I'll let you go in and actually ask the question you meant to ask. Sorry about that.
Oh, no, you didn't cut me off at all. That was, you're perfectly fine. But I guess kind of, you know, as looking at it, like, I feel like it's a lot more fair to have, I guess if you're going to do this gender-neutral bathroom, to have it a single stall type of restroom.
Mm-hmm.
Because as Jess had pointed out before, you know, having more than one stall in a bathroom, especially in a high school, presents other issues other than just, you know, it presents the fact that, you know, a male and female student that aren't transgender can both go in and, you know, do things that shouldn't be done at school, if you will. You know, hormones are at an all-time end.
So I want to just pick apart your worry, right? But let's pretend that we had bathrooms that were gender neutral with multiple stalls. What is it that you're worried that they might be doing? Is it spying? Is it touching? Right? Because all of those things are things that happen all over schools all the time. I mean, I'm 41 now, but I remember distinctly being 15, and I got inappropriately touched in the pool, in the hallway, in the, you know, never in the bathroom, frankly, but in the classroom, you know, and I know that I was certainly not alone, unfortunately. As a female, it's something that's just a part of every day. So, you know, the idea that having a bathroom that people can choose to go into, you know, not only does it really not hold up to if we're really worried about sexual assault or inappropriate sexual touching, then frankly, we should be changing a whole culture of the school. Not worrying about a bathroom, right? It's just a tiny little part of what's a larger problem throughout every public space where women are in general. So I don't see it. And also the data just don't hold up that there are people sneaking into bathrooms and assaulting people or inappropriately touching them or looking inappropriately more after the implementation of a multi-stall bathroom. And, you know, period.
Right. I'm not even, at this point, I'm not even really discussing sexual assault. I'm talking about
consented,
but like a cis male and a cis female go into the gender neutral bathroom because there's more than one stall, and it's, since it's gender neutral, anybody can go in. You don't necessarily have to be transgender to use this bathroom. And they do things of a sexual nature in a high school where, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. And then on top of that, another concern would be them going in. And I mean, I guess this could happen in any bathroom, but like Jess said, the cameras that are looking in her high school, for example, the cameras that look like at the doors of the bathroom to see who's coming in and out, they're not pointed at that gender neutral bathroom. So, you know, who's to say that, you know, a kid can go in there and do, you know, drugs or any other illegal activity that shouldn't be done at a school. You know what I mean? And then
I just think that, you know, it's not necessarily something that we need to be worried about because of bathrooms. I think that people are doing drugs in hidden places in schools all over the place. They're having sex in schools behind the bleachers and behind the stairs. You know, all of these things are happening, and they're not necessarily going to increase just because of a bathroom. And not only that, but really the benefit of having a space where trans kids can feel more safe really outweighs the other possibility, because really it doesn't increase any danger, but that having that space allows trans kids to feel safe. And you know, the danger that you're talking about is a fear. I get it. People are worried about change, and they're worried about things being different and these ideas of gender that have been dichotomized for so long. There's man and there's woman, and that's it. But it's scary to feel like that might be changing. But really, the fear is not based in any data. It's not based in any reality. And again, as I said before, the more important thing that is supported by data is that trans people and trans people of color in particular are far, far, far more likely to be victimized, murdered, than cisgendered people, and then trans white people. They're also more likely to attempt suicide and commit suicide, all sorts of different potential problems. And that making spaces where trans people and trans kids feel safe is very, very important, especially in that there just isn't an increased risk of victimization or the sort of hidden drug use or hidden sex that you're talking about that isn't happening in other spaces already.
Right, and I feel like that's fair, but Haral said she had a question, so...
Yes, I just wanted to know, you know, Montclair, the schools aren't the only ones with all gender-neutral restrooms, but Kansas is also opening up that as well. So how can this change impact all the schools in New Jersey? Because now all of the schools have this.
So New Jersey is one of just a few places where such things are required. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of laws around the country that have to do with this, but New Jersey is one of these. It was in 2017 when then-Governor Chris Christie signed a law that gave protection for transgender students that attended schools in New Jersey. That meant that schools can't force transgender students to use bathrooms that conflict with their gender identity, right? It also, by the way, interestingly, requires that students be addressed by the name or the pronoun that they prefer, not by their dead name, and they be allowed to dress in the attire that they prefer and take physical education classes that match their identity. So really, this is something that's required by the law. It's also in the city of Oakland, Boston, Denver, Boulder, and then several jurisdictions in the state of Oregon. So not in a lot of places, but it's growing. You know, and frankly, there's organizations in New Jersey that are ready to roll with trainings and that were used by the town of Montclair to plan for this change in restrooms. So they had these trainings in those schools. So Garden State Equality, for example, and the Hudson Pride Center have all sorts of resources to help schools get started in making their restrooms more accessible to trans students.
All right. So just like one last question, because, we have to start wrapping up. Do you think that putting these gender-neutral bathrooms in not only public schools but all public places, restaurants, anything that is a major public gathering of people, do you think that putting these gender-neutral bathrooms would be well worth the money spent, even if it's in, public schools or also, your local supermarkets and movie theaters and whatnot?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's an interesting article from The New Yorker, I think it was a couple of years ago, I'm not sure, where the woman said that when she was taking the bar exam during the break, she went to the bathroom and the line for the women's room was half an hour long and the line for the men's room, there was none. And that, frankly, it impacted the women's ability to get back to the bar exam, whereas men sort of went quickly because, frankly, plumbing, and whereas women had to wait and it was impacting things. I think one of the things we need to consider is why we have bathrooms that are divided by gender at all, and not only bathrooms. I mean, we have a number of things in our culture that are divided by gender, so by birth gender, I'm sorry. I think they should be available everywhere. I think that it makes gender nonconforming and trans people feel more comfortable. I think that it allows women potentially more ability to get back to what they were doing. It allows for men to potentially change their kids' diaper in ways that they haven't been able to in the past because they haven't had changing tables, for example. I think we need to start getting uncomfortable and questioning why we have certain things in place when really making changes doesn't impact our victimization or anything. It's just about sticking with things that we're used to.
All right. Well, thank you so much for spreading some light onto this issue and joining our conversation.
Sure.
And
of course, thank you for having me.
Of course. So,
thank you.
With that, we're going to go to a quick break, and then we will be back to finish the conversation. So,
more of MSC Newsroom.
Yeah, I just got to get a quick question here. Let me find break here. Let me find something. I don't know what to play.
That's what you're doing, though. No dead air.
Okay,
okay, you kill us.
Ready? And we're going to a show and tell PSA.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Awesome. Where were you, Jill?
Yeah. We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Avery Vazak. Listen to Chasing Beats Wednesdays from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on 90.3 WMSC or the iHeartRadio app.
And we're back. Ooh, we're
Whoa.
Playing
this
song.
Ooh.
Wait, I kind of like this.
I like this. No, I do like this.
We should play this in the background.
Yeah.
I do like this.
Is that words?
Yeah, it has words, so we're not going to. All right.
Okay.
I was actually really down for that, though.
If that didn't have words, I would be.
That would be awesome.
We should actually get some, like, background music stuff.
Like something serious for Newsroom?
Yeah.
Or even something like that where it's like, dun, 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 dun.
Oh, AJ, maybe we can do a segment of the elections the week before. And we can probably have something serious in the background.
I think for like a couple shows, we should have like just different like songs in Next Gen that have no words on it
or something.
Well, I know there was that used to be that like jazz show that they'd play jazz music and like talk about sports. He would like play jazz music and talk about sports. That was
that sounds really interesting. Yeah.
I know, right? Like okay.
But
jazz and
we
sports.
We should do something like that.
Yeah, so
I like the idea.
All right.
We just had that interview. Ooh,
by Professor Michelson.
Yep.
Thank you for that.
Thank you for that. It definitely did shed some light on things, mm-hmm. but I don't know.
I do have the list of the bathrooms right here.
You have the list
of the
bathrooms
at Moncler.
All right,
can you mention
that? Yeah.
I do. So it's actually a lot more than I thought
there
was.
Yeah, 14? That's a lot.
Bone Hall. Do you want me to say location too? Or
yeah.
Okay, so Bone Hall, the ground floor. The Center of Environmental and Life Science, the Cells Building, one restroom on the first floor. Drop-in center, one restroom in the main area, in the front door walk to the left. Kaiser Theater, one restroom on the second floor, just past the entrance to the theater. Moorhead Hall, third floor, outside of Disability Resource Center. NJ Transit on the fourth floor. It's right where you like pay for your ticket and... Mm-hmm. Near the office. I've been in it. It's actually...
Oh, okay. I don't know that about them.
Partridge Hall, first and second floor,
where
front
is
of
that?
The building.
I've never
Hall.
Heard of
I don't
it.
Know. I haven't heard of it.
Me either. Is that like a dorm?
I don't think it's a dorm.
Is it over by the... By the
It's not telling me where it is.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Okay, that's fine.
Russ Hall, one restroom in the main lobby of CAPS, the Counseling and Psychological Services. School of Business, two restrooms on the lower level of the building, which I wish they were a little more specific because there's the first level and then maybe I guess the lower level.
Yeah.
Sprague Library, second floor near the dean's office. Sinatra Hall, two restrooms on the first floor, front of the building, behind info desk. Stone Hall, first floor, to the right of the health promotions, multi-stall restroom. This is one of So Sprague Library has a multi-stall restroom. Stone Hall has a multi-stall restroom. And I just wanted to put that in there.
Yeah.
Student Center, second floor of the Student Center, past the information desk and center, and the Center for Commuter Services and Programs. Student Rec Center, first floor to the left, past the information and sign-in desk. You have to get a key from the circle desk, though, for that one.
To get in the bathroom?
Yep. And that's the last one. I just thought it was interesting that they're all very different. Like, you have a lot of them where just, like, it's kind of like the family room where right. it's...
Like, in the main area?
So, a lot of them are kind of near where bathrooms already are situated. Mm-hmm. Like AJ said, here, they already have one downstairs.
Yeah, it's downstairs in the main lobby. And it's, like, so, like, on the other wall of... So, like, there's the male and female room. There's a men's and women's room. And then it's, like, on the other wall.
I just thought it was interesting, the multi stall ones.
Right.
Because it kind of, I mean, again, it's a maturity level where in college, it's not going to be like in high school.
Yeah.
We have a better understanding. And we have more maturity and it's a little bit different.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. And there, I pulled up, you know, a whole list of cases that people posed as transgender. And I feel like the biggest thing is, I should clarify it. It's not a matter of whether or not transgender people are going to be preying or be victimized. That's not really the discussion. It's whether or not people are going to pretend and pose as transgender people and then victimize people. And there was a whole one quick Google search gave me a whole list of events where that happened. It was like a list of like 25 events happen in.
No transgender male or female is going to prey on anyone. That is statistically reported, because I looked that up too. That is very much the case, but they do get harassed a lot in the bathrooms.
Right.
When they try to go to their designated bathroom that they identify as, which is not safe for them. So I feel like the bathrooms are kind of making it safer. But also, like you said, it is very... Because I looked it up too. It's so many articles.
So I guess the common thread would be a third bathroom. Like, that third gender-neutral bathroom is a good thing, is a positive thing, and it would help protect and keep those that are transgender safer. But allowing, you know, just keeping the two bathrooms and saying anybody can go in them, like you know, sort of thing, opens up an opportunity for people to prey on whichever sex they prefer to prey on, I guess you could say. But at the same time, and it is documented that there are a lot of, you know, males that go into the men's room and prey on younger males. You know what I mean? Like, that is also a documented thing that does certainly happen.
Thank you, Jess.
Oh, yeah, Jess is leaving. Thank you, Jess.
Yeah, sorry. I have things to do for class. And
no, it's all right. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. I shall be back. I'll always be here Thursday, so I might be back.
Yay, you can join us. And maybe Steven, hopefully, is here next
Steven
week.
Yeah, Steven said he'll be here next week, too. So.
All right, I'll see you guys later.
All right, bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
We'll see you like half an hour.
But yeah.
Yeah, I also want to add, I think it's a good thing Jess mentioned, like, the whole maturity level, especially in high school, because there has been cases in my high school where the male would try to go into the female's bathroom.
Right.
It's like, why are you there? You should be in the other bathroom.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. And then we were talking about this earlier before we went on. New York, I saw on Twitter that New York was going to pass, you know, a ruling that you can put... on birth certificates, you can identify it as your child as gender X opposed to male or female. Which, I mean, I think that birth certificates in general should just have the sex of the child, like the biological sex of the child. It that's a government record, it's a government record, so it should just have the name, the biological sex, and like. The hospital signature and
I don't
stuff
know, they
like
usually
that.
Have like other as like one of like the tick marks that you can do.
But I mean, I just feel like in the case of a birth certificate, it should be biological sex.
Yeah.
And then in the case of anything else, practically anything else, I don't think that, especially in like job applications or things like that, we should have, or college applications, it should all be gender, like no gender at all. You know what I mean? Like there should be no question of sex or gender in anything like a job application or an interview or not an interview, obviously, but a job application or a college application or anything like that, because that opens up the door for possible discrimination. If there's absolutely no sex or race or anything or gender on those, then you can't really discriminate based on those protocols. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, I understand. Are there any cases that you have that's open up on the computer? Right,
what do you mean?
Of people who are imposing as being transgender just to enter in the restroom.
I got.
If you pull up one, that's totally fine.
I have here.
All right, cool.
So this is an issue brief from, it's an issue brief from the Family Resources Council, and I'll just read pretty much the whole thing.
It says, yeah, that's fine.
Gender identity non-discrimination laws, particularly those that apply to schools and public accommodations, authorize people to use sex-separate facilities such as restrooms, locker rooms, and showers that correspond to their subjective psychological gender identity, rather than their objective biological sex. This has led to concerns that such policies, particularly insofar as they permit biological males to use facilities designated for women or girls, could threaten the privacy and safety of the general public and even lead to an increase in sexual assault. And then it's bolded, it says, it is important to note that the concern is not that transgendered individuals are more likely to be sexual predators, but rather that sexual predators could exploit such laws by posing as transgendered in order to gain access to to women and girls. Beyond this, when companies such as Target implement any sex bathroom dressing room public dressing room policies, it encourages criminals to take advantage of these policies and commit crimes. And so then it gives a list of its 23 cases
of imposing
of people posing in these areas. So CBS,
wow.
CBS Chicago, a man tried to film in a Target dressing room March 29th, 2017. WBIR, Peeing Tom caught in the act at West Knoxville Target. Man charged with voyeurism in Target bathroom.
That's another thing too, like taking videos.
Yeah. So these are all after Target made their bathrooms all gender neutral. So man used cell phone to record women undressing in Target in Dallas. Man seen recording women in Target changing room. That one was in Brick, New Jersey. A man was observed reaching under the stalls of a unisex dressing room with a cell phone in Target store to record women. Man accused of taking photos in Target dressing room. That one was in Dallas. Transgender woman arrested for voyeurism at Target. This is in Idaho. A biological male claiming to be a woman was arrested after taking cell phone pictures of women in the adjoining stall of a women's dressing room at Target store. The man, who was dressed as a woman, ran out of the store after the victim attempted to confront him. Man arrested for recording juvenile girls in Target dressing room. Man caught placing cell phone. Yeah, so they're all people preying on young girls in these restrooms or changing rooms. And it seems like all of these are at Target.
Mm-hmm.
And it dates all the way back to September 25th, 1999.
Oh,
but
wow.
It starts at, you know, March 29th, 2017. And then this issue at the end it says, this issue has also been an issue in our neighboring country, Canada, which is often considered much more progressive than the United States. And so this talks about October 8th, 2015, University of Toronto
got rid of its transgender bathrooms after peeping incidents. Toronto, Canada, after two separate incidents of voyeurism occurred in the female students' shower stalls on the campus of the University of Toronto, the administration changes its policy on gender-neutral bathrooms. That was in 2015 that was reported. And then sexual predator jailed after claiming to be a transgender to assault women in shelter, March 4th, 2014 in Toronto, Canada. But the case happened in 2012. A biological male named Christopher Hambrook, age 37, claimed to be transgendered. He used the transgendered identity to gain access to the women's shelters, and Hambrook sexually assaulted several women. One woman reported how Hambrook had watched her shower through the door frame. In 2014, he was jailed.
You see, now people just use that for advantage now. Now that it's open to anybody, people are just obviously just going to take advantage of, like, hey, you know, I'm about to go in there now, so I'm just going to go inside and do what I have to do.
Right. So I don't think that this posing, you know, people posing is really a unrealized threat or danger. I kind of disagree with that point greatly now. Now that, you know, I just saw a list of 23 incidents that have happened in the United States and two in Canada. That's not it's not just a random risk that people are kind of making up and conflating. That's an actual thing that has happened and does happen. And so it is a legitimate concern. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's just something that you can just kind of pass.
Yeah, and this actually reminded me, I went to a retreat at a camp, and there was only one bathroom. So the girls and guys had to use strictly just one bathroom. And, you know, we also slept in the same room. It was like a huge room. And I didn't feel awkward in the room because we did have, like, our chaperones there. But just going in the bathroom just felt really weird. Like, even if I brushed my teeth, I would kind of feel weird because there's a guy next to me, or when I'm using the bathroom, knowing that next to my stall, there's a guy using the bathroom. And every time we would get dressed, we'd have to use that bathroom. And it just kind of felt weird. And I'll just make sure that the door is closed, because sometimes the door wouldn't close and you can just open it.
Right.
And I was just afraid of that.
And like I said, it's very important to distinguish. We're not saying that transgendered people are more likely to commit these. That's not what we're saying. We're saying that there are, you know, people that are messed up and sick in the head that will use these new rules to their advantage and you use it to prey on people. And I think that is a legitimate concern, especially when it comes to putting them in high schools. Like, you know, there's so many times that you hear even of teachers that, you know, have preyed on students and stuff like that. And it's just scary.
Now.
Yeah, it's just a scary thing. We're actually getting a phone call really quick.
So. Oh, we are.
Yeah.
Who we'll must see. This be?
1 second, Haral. You want to vamp for a little bit?
Do. I also actually checked another article just about more on gender-neutral restrooms. And the city of Hoboken in New Jersey actually also...
We got that spam call.
Oh, dang it. But the city of Hoboken also passed a bill making public bathrooms gender neutral as well. So I feel like New Jersey is slowly getting there and trying to make a lot of laws in the schools in each town.
Laws.
Yeah, to have gender neutral restrooms.
Right, which, I mean, I guess we'll have to see what happens when these cases, you know, what happens when these laws go through and these gender-neutral bathrooms are put into place. But I don't think it's fair to just completely quash concerns of parents and people in general. I don't think it's fair to just kind of, like, throw their concerns to the side and say that doesn't really happen when it clearly does, as we've seen in multiple cases, including a case at Montclair High School.
Right. And I was wondering this, and how much money is being spent to add these restrooms? That's just my concern. Like, how much money,
like, taxpayer,
are we spending?
Taxpayer dollars are we spending? I can't imagine it would be that much. Honestly, I mean,
I feel like it's unless, especially if it's not a multi-stall bathroom, just kind of like adding a bathroom, I feel like wouldn't be that extreme amount of money. I mean, I guess it could be a legitimate concern. I'm not saying that it's not, like, you know, for taxpayer dollars.
But, like, the school pays for it, though, right?
Right, yeah. The school would pay for it.
Like, the Board of Ed, though.
Right, but I also think that if it's like, a law and you have to add these things, then it might be through the, like, state-funded.
Oh, yeah.
But still, then the taxpayers are still paying for
it. Yeah,
of
course.
But, that is a legitimate concern. But is the money worth the safety of the transgender students? And I don't think anybody really is arguing here about, I don't think the argument is really the gender neutral bathrooms wouldn't help the transgender students,
right,
or that it's not, that's not a legitimate thing. It's more of the matter of fact that, you know, other people can use it and it could be bad. So I feel like the more, the better, the best case scenario is that it's a single person restroom. I think that's just, you get the safety for the transgender student, but you also get the safety for everybody else. You know what I mean? So it's like, if you're a biological man, you go into the men's room. If you're a biological man that identifies as a man, you go into the men's restroom. If you're a biological woman that identifies as a woman, you go into the women's restroom. If you are transgender, you would go into the gender neutral restroom, so you can be the safest that you can be, and also so that it keeps everybody else safe from, you know, people posing and predators using these new laws to their advantage.
There's just a lot of, I guess, a debate from pros to cons in this situation. Like, some people, there are going to be a lot of people that aren't going to agree completely, and then there's going to be others that are going to agree on actually having gender neutral bathroom, and it's going to help.
Right, and I think that what we, like, this is a solid middle ground, is this idea of, well, not anybody can walk into the women's room, not anybody can walk into the men's room, but we do have a gender neutral third option. It's just only one person can use that at a time, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I understand, like, you know, it's a good thing Jess mentioned how, you know, before they had, like, segregated bathrooms, and like, at least we evolved from that situation, and we don't make them feel that they're segregated from us and that they are different.
I mean, I feel like I said, though, segregation based on race is completely different, because there's no real difference between somebody that has, you know, black skin compared to somebody that has white skin. The only difference is skin pigmentation.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
There's no actual difference there.
Yeah.
There is a biological difference between a man and a woman, and to pretend that that's not there is to pretend that fact doesn't exist. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
Haral and I are biologically different. You know
yeah,
what I mean? Like, we aren't, we don't have all the same everything. You know
exactly,
what I mean?
Exactly, yeah.
And I don't want somebody that is transgender to feel uncomfortable, and I feel like giving that third option is the right way to do it. And the way that we do it here, where it's one stall, would at least in this building, is even more.
I definitely need to check that out. I never.
We can go after the show.
Yeah, that's what I'm really. So is it by the water fountain?
It's by no. So it's like you know, when you walk in. You walk into the building, and you walk past the stairs. On the left is the men's and women's room, right?
Yeah.
Well, instead of, like, as if you're going back to those seats by the window, you know what I mean? Like, that, like, seated area.
Yeah.
It's on the wall towards the left. So the fishbowl's on the right there, it's on the left.
See, I never knew we had another bathroom there.
Yep. Gender-neutral bathroom. There was a big thing. There was an article in the Montclairian and everything about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at the beginning of last year.
I probably must have missed that article then.
Yeah.
If anything.
It happens. But yeah, so we got about 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
And I think we covered a lot of
We did. I feel like this is just one of those topics that's kind of like, again, debatable. And it's just, you have to kind of dig deep into this kind of topic too, though. Like, it's not only just gender itself, but how Professor Michelson mentioned, of like discrimination too at the same time, of like crime and how that can be relatable.
Right, but I feel like she was just trying to give the point that, you know, transgender people are more likely to get affected by the crime than to do the crime. And that's fair. That's a fair point, but it's not where we were coming from.
Yeah.
Like, it's not the argument that we were making either.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was kind of like... So... No, it definitely is fair. Transgender people should feel just as safe as any cisgender person. Like, I'm definitely feel that way. They should feel safe and comfortable and be able to use the restroom and all that stuff. But you have to look at, you know, the other possibilities, and they are grounded and they are factual, and there are cases of this happening. It's not just, you know, a once in a blue moon type of thing. Like, it happened. It happens. People are crazy. Not everybody is good, you know?
Yeah. But I do wonder at times, like, why are they targeted? Is it, like, why are they targeted the most?
Who's targeted?
Like,
transgender?
Yeah. I mean, you know, like...
Maybe...
I don't know.
I don't know why. I can't answer that question. And
of course not.
There's definitely some sort of discrimination against them, so that's probably why... There's some sort of, I don't even think discrimination is necessarily the right word. There's some sort of animus and dislike against them. And they're like an easy target for some people. So I feel like that might be why. But why are women more likely to be sexually assaulted than men? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that is true.
Why are men more likely to be murdered than women? You know what I mean? Like, it just, things happened in society. Men are more likely to commit suicide than women are.
Yeah.
By a lot. Middle-aged men is the most affected group of by suicide, like, in general. At the same time, transgenderism also has a very high suicide rate, though. I think it's something like 44%, like something crazy high, like almost half of the transgender population, you know, has attempted to commit suicide or something insanely high like that. In like recent studies, in some studies that I saw, which is also an issue. You know, they should definitely be able to feel safe in their
environment,
in
wherever they are.
Wherever they are, right. But, and then also, I feel like we're at a point where in the United States, I don't know, people have it pretty good. You know, there's that we're even arguing about bathrooms is like that idea is pretty good, you know, and
it's like
a lot of
every little thing in the U.S. we argue about, and we try to make sure everyone is safe.
Right. In other countries, if you were transgender, you would be executed.
Oh yeah, isn't it?
If you were homosexual, you would be.
I think it's the Middle
executed.
East.
A lot of countries
or
in.
I think Saudi Arabia.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
They would.
But
there's a lot of places that they would throw, you know, homosexual people off roofs and crazy things like that.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
like
crazy.
We have it pretty all right here. You know.
We have it easier.
Easier is...
at least it's not like in the other countries.
Right. So, you know, we also have to put into account we're in one of the most prosperous and I don't want to use the term progressive, but prosperous and accepting places on Earth. You know what I mean? And we hear it all the time that the United States isn't like that, but we really are. So... You know,
Mara, you gave me a little speech, a little.
I'll get on my soapbox.
Yeah.
Dude, I just love the United States. Like, that's it.
That's good. That's
God
good.
Bless America. You know.
Yeah, God bless America.
Do we have any patriotic songs here that
we
can play?
I mean, it's kind of relatable. I mean, it is relatable. I mean, it is election season, so.
Let's see.
Well, hurry up because you know.
America, the Second Amendment. America got it. Oh. America the Beautiful.
That's we cool. have it?
We have America the Beautiful. All right, but...
No, we don't have it.
We do have it.
We do? Oh, isn't it because of your show?
I didn't put it on.
Oh.
But we do have America the Beautiful. So, You know, it is 3:59, and it's going to be about the end of MSU Newsroom, right?
Yes, it is the end of this week's edition of MSU Newsroom. Tune in next week for more on Thursday, 3 to 4 p.m. Don't miss it.
Right, yeah. We'll be joined probably with Stephen.
Yes, and Jess, most likely.
And Jess will hopefully come back. Sorry, we got 3, 2, 1... 4 o'clock. It is the top of the hour here at 90.3 WMSC, Upper Montclair, New Jersey. You just listened to MSU Newsroom. Have a great rest of your evening.
This has been an episode of the MSU Newsroom.
Sorry about that. One second, we got a technical difficulty here in the studio, but we're gonna put America the Beautiful is on now. Have a great afternoon,
ladies and gentlemen, whether you like it or not, Hedwig.
You are listening to 90.3 WMSC up in Montclair, New Jersey.
like Saint Christopher.